Get your Bible, turn to the book of Psalm with me tonight, chapter number 22, the book of Psalm, chapter number 22. A prophetic psalm, though we're going to be dealing with the latter portion that is not prophetic. And so I'd like for you to go down with me to verse number 22, verse number 22 of Psalm 22. And I want to read most of the rest of this chapter tonight. Verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee and the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing the marvelous songs. And Lord, though it be but short, but a beautiful, beautiful thought, learning to lean on you. And that certainly is our desire. We pray tonight that we might, as we look at the Word of God, learn to lean upon thus saith the Lord, take you at your word, and operate in that direction. Bless, we pray, with your power. Anoint, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In verse number 28, the last phrase says, he is the governor among the nations. He's the governor among the nations. Simply stated, God administers and regulates the affairs of men between themselves. In his ways, we find there are divisions of those powers into the hands of men. We find that we call this government, which is in many cases the governing body of a nation or of a state or of a community. We use a term sometimes, and that term is politics, interesting term. But really, politics is referring to the activities associated with the governance of a country or an area. It's the way people make decisions and they might be able to live together in harmony. Now we find that there are varying ways that governments operate. There is one that we would call complete rule of one man. And normally we would give him the title of king or dictator. This will be, by the way, the type of government under King Jesus, when he will rule and reign over the entire world. He will indeed be the governor of this world. We find also that God has allowed government to be the rule of several men working together as a body. And as a body, they enact and enforce laws and the way that folks can operate. That's what we find in most countries throughout our world today. And what we find with that kind of setup is that people are responsible then to each other. It's an interesting thing that I hear many different times, and that is folks saying you cannot mix politics and religion. Have you ever heard that? No doubt you've said that somewhere along the line. But did you know? Let's think about this for a moment. The word governor that we find here in verse number 28 is used 78 times in the Bible. And it's referring to one who is in authority over others. This is interesting. The word king is used 2,504 times in the Word of God. Do you think God is interested in government? You think God has a few things to say about it? Matter of fact, we find God established government after the flood, and it was for the protection of men. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, verse 5 and 6, it says this, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." What's he saying? Somebody kills somebody, those in a community are responsible to have capital punishment on that individual. There's something interesting about capital punishment. Those who go through the experience never commit murder again. Kind of a deterrent to things, don't you think? By the way, did you know this? Many of God's choice servants were governors. I imagine you could think of a few, but of course, Joseph, what do we find? He was in the land of Egypt. He was second to Pharaoh. Moses, by the way, was the leader of an entire nation called Israel, and his successor, Joshua. We find David as a king. We find Solomon as a king. We find Nehemiah, who upon their return becomes the governor over the area. We find Daniel in Babylon in a position within government. And that's not mentioning all the good kings that are over Judah and others as well. What we find is the Bible has much to say about those that govern. What we find is a great connection between government and God, a great connection between politics and religion. When in harmony, happiness comes to the governed. In Proverbs 29:2, it says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Do you find that to be a true statement? Do you find that to be something that you could relate to in the last several years of your life? I believe so. I want to stop and think tonight what God wants out of government. First of all, I believe that God's purpose for government is to promote righteousness. It's interesting when you go to Proverbs 25 and verse number 5, it says this, "Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness." It's basically saying, get rid of those advisors who are going to take him in the wrong direction. Evil must be removed. The wicked are those that call evil good and good evil. Is that not taking place in our society today? Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Did you know the Bible teaches us that an unrighteous governor is an abomination to God? In verse number 12 of chapter 16 of Proverbs, it says, "It's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness." An abomination is something of extreme hatred. And it has in the Bible very specifically deal with idol worship. An idol is that which takes the place of God. That's why during the tribulation period, the offering made to Satan is called the abomination of desolation, as something is not given rightful unto God. We find that government ought to promote righteousness. A righteous governor will get rid of the evil that destroys his people. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. That's his responsibility. So those who are in those positions, what are they to be doing? Promoting righteousness. That almost today sounds like a joke, but that's what we find throughout the Word of God. Do you know a nation's duration is dependent upon this? Proverbs 28:2 says, "The transgression of a land, for the transgression of land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged." And so when we're in a state of dependence upon God and a place of righteousness, God prolongs that. There's something about a good governor that he ought to have, and that is high morals. Again, in Proverbs 31, verse 4, it says, "It's not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." He's going to have high morals. Dear old lies, that when you look through the Word of God, you find that kings by decree were supposed to take the Word of God and make a copy for themselves. Have you ever sat down and started writing out the Word of God? It's quite a task, I'll tell you. I've done just a little bit of it. And they were to write the entire thing that they might have a copy of their own. By the way, just a thought for you tonight. Do you realize that the original autographs of the Ten Commandments were destroyed? Do you realize that what was put in the Ark of the Covenant was a copy? It was a copy under God's direction. Interesting thought. Just throw that out there. We'll save that for another time. And so a governor is to promote righteousness. He's going to seek to make righteous judgments. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates." When it talks about gates, it's often talking about the place of rulership, "which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Government, I believe, was established by God to promote righteousness. I believe also, we already alluded to it, government is to protect its people. It's to protect its people, its citizens, from the evils of other people and other nations. Listen to this in 1 Peter 2:14. He says, "Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." What are they there to do? They're there to take care of those who are doing evil. By the way, it's not to protect pedophiles, it's to protect us from them. Amen? It's not to protect rioters, but to protect us from them. Amen? It isn't to protect deviant lifestyles, but to protect us from them. It isn't to protect those that would invade our borders, but to protect us from them. Have we hit most of the problems in America yet? Romans 13, verse 3 and 4 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." By the way, I've mentioned this in weeks gone by, but if your government is the one that's doing the evil, there's a problem. If there's a government that's one that's saying, "Hey, you can't do what God says," like they did to Peter, "you're not going to speak in his name," what did he tell them? He said, "I'm going to obey God, not you." And so there's an area that we need to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." Aren't we glad when we have those who are in leadership positions, ruler in our nation, when they're taking care of the evildoers, rather than being the evildoers themselves. So government has a responsibility. And we find, of course, government ought to be that which is promoting righteousness. Government is that which is to protect its people. Please, before you hear the entire explanation, government is to propagate the gospel. Now think about this for a moment. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The next verse, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority. And then he tells us why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God has given government the responsibility to give the righteous protection that they might be able to propagate the gospel. It's never to afflict the religious. And so when those in government are governing properly, it is going to give ability to the people in our churches and so forth to be able to give out the word of God. We've had that freedom in our country. Its leadership, by the way, ought to be that which brings praise to God. This is in Psalm 148, verses 11 to 13. It says, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Did you catch that? Kings and princes involved in this. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. What is wrong with mixing our faith with the political world? For what you believe in your soul is how you will operate in the realm of government. By its very nature, they must mix. And for folks to come along and say, well, the state and church is to be separated, have not understood in our own nation what that is all about. What that is about is saying government cannot make rules for churches. Put it in very simple words. They're not to be a church. They're to give the church protection that they might do their job. And then lastly, I would say this. Government is there to pass judgment for God. And when I say for God, I mean by that in his stead. In Leviticus 19, verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. How in the world are you going to judge your neighbor in righteousness if you know not what righteousness is? There was a time that those who sat on the benches of our judging halls, they were men who know the Lord Jesus Christ. They understood the word of God, the law of God, along with the laws of the nation. That has long since passed, and we're reaping that. But they're to pass judgment in God's stead. Have you ever wondered, why is the place where the judge sat elevated? You've heard me say it in the past, so maybe you remember. Is it not to depict that God is elevated? They put on a robe. Isn't their clothes good enough? No, it's to cover over them. It's to make them appear different than the rest. And isn't it interesting when they walk in, everybody's to stand to show respect. And so God has placed them in that position to make judgments according to his law. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "And I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the kings of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it." Did you catch that phrase? For the judgment is God's. They sit in a very exalted place and a place of great responsibility. What's the purpose of government? Well, I believe we find that it's a fourfold action from the Word of God. You can certainly probably add to that. But we find that government is to promote righteousness. It will protect its people. It will help in the propagation of the gospel. And it will pass judgment for God. I have thought in the past, if there's one thing that is keeping America from severe judgment, it's that we still are sending missionaries around the world. But what happened last year? A whole lot of that got curtailed, didn't it? And what were they doing? Well, supposedly in the name of health. What they're saying is, you folks are too stupid to figure out how to do stuff yourself. We'll do it for you. I wasn't going to get political, but I just did. I'm glad tonight God gives us some great directions in this area. Do not let folks deceive you into thinking that you as a Christian have no right in the position of government. Matter of fact, what would happen if you men in this room would run for the city council and school boards and all the different things that you could run for? What would take place? By the way, that's the real need of our hour. And I wish you would consider that, tell you the truth. Because we need people who make righteous decisions. Let's go to him in prayer tonight. Chad, I believe, has a prayer letter. Father, thank you so much for your word and what you have to say about this subject. Lord, we so often get our voice silenced because we think that as Christians we shouldn't speak up and that we shouldn't have an opinion and we shouldn't be involved in politics. And yet throughout your word, we find it to be very political. We find it to speak of government over and over again. So, Lord, I pray you might bless and work in every heart. Use us this week. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.